Read from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5 and read the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verse 1, hear the word of God. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. But tonight, then, for a short time, we have the fifth verse in chapter 5 of Matthew. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The great aim here is to produce men and women of grace, gracious people. It's so easy to be domineering regarding our own wills and our own desires rather than to be gracious and Christ-like in our lives. Now, this Sermon on the Mount, as I mentioned to you, has been used as an excuse not to believe the gospel. As it doesn't mention the cross, of course it does not, you know. But they don't realize. And how many times have I heard people say, I'm a Sermon on the Mount man, meaning I'm a person of good works. You try these good works without Christ, it is impossible. And I think I remember vividly, early when a minister, we were having a ladies' class, and one lady came to me and said she was tired of all this talk about sin and repentance and so on. Why didn't I preach from James? And this I did. Well, it was too hard for her. In 3 weeks she left. You know, because James is linked with the Sermon on the Mount. There are great points of similarity there. It's as if James is in sympathy with the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way. And although it's not copying it, you can have the feel of the Sermon on the Mount running through that epistle. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want to climb the Sermon on the Mount, and it's essential that we should, you must first of all visit another mount, and that's the Mount of Calvary. And this mountain is where our Christ, our Lord, was crucified. And a lovely little chorus I heard once, or refrain rather, burdens are lifted at Calvary. And they are. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and we do have many burdens of all sorts, all kinds. And it's lovely to think that when we come to him with our burdens, he will take them. Burdens are lifted there. When we come with the gifts of repentance and faith, and they are gifts to Christ, we come to a Saviour. And may I remind you, he's done two things. I know we more often than not think of one, which we call his passive obedience, that he died on the cross as a punishment for my sin. And I know, because I have faith in him, that I'm a forgiven person. But there's something else too. The fulfilling of the law during our lives, but we didn't do that. We were not able to. Christ has done that as well. So his life counts for us. Call it his active obedience. So when we come to him, he does two things. All our sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. And then we are robed in the life of Christ. Now, it is a very beautiful thing when that happens. It means your home is heaven. And if somebody asks you going to heaven, Don't say, I think so. Don't doubt Christ. Don't think he was ineffective in what he did. He did it completely for you. And all he wants from you, completely, really, to trust him. To trust him. A simple thing. I know there must be understanding, but that we know here, we understand it. But you can know all that in your mind, and you can desire it in your heart. But holding back trust, you know, it would be a terrible thing between two people. I'm great friends with you, like you very much. I admire you, but I don't trust you. You know, there has to be that very beautiful thing called trust. And he's just saying, trust me. So when that happens, it is beautiful. We are members of the kingdom of heaven. Now back to this sermon. That first verse we had, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is the first step. It's really a gospel step. Because if you don't get past one, that one, you will not understand the others. The poor in spirit here doesn't mean a cringing person. It means a person who knows his position. He knows that we are poor in spirit. We are sinners by nature. And a recognition of that. The biggest problem in receiving Christ as Saviour is our stubbornness to know we need him. We feel, I don't really need him. I partially need him. You know, maybe half and half, but I don't completely need him. There's some pride left. You know that hymn that says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So I'm not going to go there and say, well, you know, Lord, I was a minister for nearly 6 years altogether. And I did work hard. And I did so many hours a day. I'll just go there and say, I'm so glad I've been forgiven. That's all that matters. And that's the last words of Dr. Lloyd-Jones to me. I didn't know I was to take his funeral then. The last thing he said, remember now, he said, don't you forget it. I'm only a forgiven sinner, and that's all I am. Now, when we recognize that, it leaves no room for pride. Only a forgiven sinner. We don't put ourselves above anybody else. Now, poverty of spirit then means that we must see that we are unworthy. And if we've come to that place, it's a very hard place to get to. But if you ask God to help you, he'll bring you there. And look at the reward. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven will be yours. We're not long on this earth. We really are not long. For heaven is theirs. Then last week, or the week before, not sure, the week before, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, this can be used in its casual kind of, I mean, not casual, kind of a surface way, where you can talk about mourning when people, and they do use it, and I don't think it's wrong, when people have had a bereavement, they say, well, you know, you will be comforted. Well, it is true, but that isn't what the verse is saying. What it's saying here, blessed are they that mourn for their sin. That they don't want to be like this, and they want to grow in grace, and they want things that are unworthy in their lives to go, and they mourn. And the strange thing is, the more we go on with God, the more we will mourn for any little thing that we feel offends our Saviour. Then he says, well, you know, you're getting the idea that purity is a lovely thing, and every little thing that mars it makes you feel very sad. So blessed are they that mourn, for theirs they shall be comforted. Now, let me ask you two questions now. Have you come to stage one? I am poor in spirit. On myself, I have nothing. You come there. Well, if you have, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Do you continue by saying, well, there are lots of bits and pieces that he's cleaning up in my life? Do you mourn because they are there? And you genuinely are sorry that they are there? Well, if you are, you should be comforted. Now we come to what seems to be an unusual one, and certainly not a popular one. We are building up a character here, a Christian character. And if we are willing to climb it in the way it's meant to be climbed, not just to look at the lovely, almost poetry of the Beatitudes, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the last thing on earth you think a meek person would inherit would be the earth, you know. You might say a couple of fields, maybe, but not the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, look at these. What does the world like? The world likes a person who is confident and who can assert himself. They like a strong person. And indeed, when we fill our forms up for a job, we have to, I suppose, I can do this, I can do that, I can do the other. I've got these qualifications. They may creep into it, our wrong attitude in our own hearts. I'm very well qualified. You know, well, it's all right to think that you are, but not to be so proud about it, because only one little breath from God, one little vessel going wrong in your head or somewhere, and you lost all, aren't you? You lost all. We are so fragile. All of us here are so fragile. So when we think, oh, well, that's good, thanks be to God that I have these qualifications. Without him, I would not have them. But the world likes that. They like a person, can you do this? And if a person who's really good says, well, yes, you know, I know how to do it, I'll try. But the other one says, I can. I'd go for the person who says, I'll try. I think I would almost withdraw from the one with overconfidence. But the world likes that. It likes it. Now, that's not the way of the Christian. It's not the way. We are stronger. We are more able. Yet we don't have that same assertive, aggressive attitude. Now, the failure of the facts, in fact, are some false ideas of meekness. I'll go through a few that I have here. There is a natural meekness of spirit in some people. Now, is that it? Well, they are people that peace at any price. Oh, no, don't quarrel. Don't, please don't. You know, it's all right. Don't worry. Peace and giving. Yes, I'll pay. I'll do anything. Peace at any price. A love of holding back, not to get too involved. And there's a certain timidity about them. They're naturally like that. They're easily deterred from things, and easily persuaded of evil too. There's no resemblance there of scriptural meekness. It's rather weakness. And that's what we do not want. Here's another one. To be nice, you know. Oh, he's a nice man. You know, he wouldn't say a word against anybody. He's such a nice person, and he's pleasant. Now, that's very pleasant, very nice, very sweet. But that's not meekness in the scripture. Then you have weakness. A fearful person, and there are people that are fearful, they tremble at any discord, they would never harm a fly, they never make a stand for anything, they don't stand up for anything, they'll never object when something awful happens, they're too weak. That's not meekness. Then there's the outward appearance. This is one I don't like very much. A self-effacing person, oh no, I can't, oh no, really, I'm so humble. You know, I really, you know, I know I couldn't, I'm sorry. And it's self-effacing, but actually, they want you to make a fuss of them. And they say, well, yes, you're very, very good, you know. And what do you think so? You know, it's a self-effacing thing, a Uriah Heep thing. You know, I'm humble, ever so humble kind of thing. And almost creeping under the carpet. But it's not meekness. So there are many false ideas. Are blessed are the meek. In a way, that rather nice hymn does spoil it a little for children. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It does make you think of somebody rather that you can push around. It does give that idea, sadly. Hymns are not particularly perfect because they're not inspired, not like the scriptures. Now, the features of the quality of true meekness. Now, let's consider the scriptures. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Now then, do you like that? Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. Now then, you know his story. You know what he put up with. You know his crucifixion. You know his response to people. And even when he was being crucified, I am meek and lowly of heart. He's not saying, I'm a show-off and I can do anything. And then you know they're so noisy. No, it doesn't strike you like that, does he? I am meek and lowly of heart. Then Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Walk, how should we live? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. That's how we are to walk, says Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, with all lowliness and meekness. That doesn't mean to say that we little quiet mice miseries. It doesn't mean that at all. But we do not go out to attract attention to ourselves, you know. We don't go out to do that. 2 Corinthians 10:1, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul there is making an appeal to the Corinthian church. And I'm doing it on the basis, he said, there you are shouting one another, finding fault with one another. You really are quite obnoxious, and they were with each other. He said, I beg you, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Know who you are in Christ. That kind of behavior you've left behind. That's finished. Then James 1:22, receive with meekness the engrafted word. How do you take scripture, the things that are, when the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword sometimes, you know, are you able to accept it with meekness? You know, in Ephesians also, that we are fitly framed, that he chisels here and there to get the rough edges away. Are we willing to say, well, yes, Lord, make me that I'm a man of grace or a woman of grace. Receive with meekness, but that hurt, Lord, I know. But it's for your good. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The Numbers 12, verse 3, about Moses. He was very meek above all men which are upon the face of the earth. Now, I think of Moses as a giant of a man and a great leader. The Bible says he was the most meek of all men that ever were on the earth. Remarkable. Now then, let me quote this to you. The meek are those who quietly submit themselves before God and to his word or his rod, to his word or his rod, who follow his directions and comply with his design and are gentle towards men. Lovely. The meek are those who quietly submit themselves before God and to his word or his rod, who follow his directions and comply with his designs and are gentle towards men. Now let's examine meekness then. Meekness towards God and meekness towards man, those two. Now meekness towards God is submission to his will. It is the opposite of self-will. Now, do you suffer from wanting your own way in everything? It's awful, isn't it? Especially if somebody doesn't want your way and you want your way and you're sure that you're right and you may even be right, you know, but your spirit is wrong. A person may be absolutely right in what they're saying in a very aggressive way. It's no good. Their spirit is wrong and therefore of very little value or little help to anyone. It's a submission to God's will without a rebellious spirit. In 1 Samuel 3:18, it is the Lord, let him do that what seemeth good, to him good. Listen to the Lord, he said in that particular scene. Let him do what he believes is right. Submit to it. Submit to God. The command of God. Let me give an illustration here from a hymn I think we sang. Thou art the King of mercy and of grace, reigning omnipotent in every place. So come, O King, and this is a phrase I like, and our whole being sway. Show in us, shining us with the light of thy pure day. The phrase I like, so come, O King, and our whole being sway. That's by John Calvin. Now, by nature, Calvin was a very shy and a very almost timid person. And when he was once going to the early morning service, because he has services every day, when he was on his way, they would some young men come outside the door and fire what they call pistols then. And he would tremble, because anything like that made him very nervous. But he still opened the front door and still went on. That's courage. You know, that's courage. He still went on. And at one time, I think of the prince there, had disobeyed some of the rules of God and was barred from the communion table. But he came, demanding communion. And frail Calvin crossed his arms across the communion table and refused him communion. You know, you might say, well, we can push Calvin around. No, you can't. It was said of him that he was asthmatic. That wheezing man, when he blew his trumpet, shook Europe. All right. It's an amazing thing. Now then, meekness towards God is simple obedience to his word. Am I willing to admit that I am poor of spirit, that without the forgiveness of Christ I have nothing? You know, nothing in my hands I bring, simply till I cross I cling. Are we willing to mourn for the remnants of sin that are in me till they all go one by one? And are we willing to say, yes, I want to be also like the Saviour, meek and lowly in heart? Well, towards God, it means a submission to God's will in our lives. And very often we say, well, I do agree with most of what he says, but there are some things I want to do. And no one's going to stop me. Well, no one is going to stop you, but we are answerable. Don't forget now, for the Christian, there is a day of judgment for all of us where those who are not in Christ are condemned to eternal damnation. And those who are in Christ are welcomed. But there is, I do not know if there's a separate judgment. It implies that, but or an aspect, there is also the judgment of the people of God. Now, they are not barred from heaven, but they may have a rebuke or a reward. I have no idea what those rebukes and rewards are. People speculate. But it's how we have responded in our Christian life from when we came to Christ to when we die. Have we availed ourselves of the grace in our lives? Have we submitted ourselves to the will of God? We are answerable in that day. Now then, some people feel, well, we just fall out of grace and come back. No, not at all. It's much more sensible to see it like this. And it is right that there is such a thing as a gentle corrective. We will all have some rebukes, and trust we'll all have some rewards. I don't know what they are. But our joy in heaven will be nonetheless. Remember that now. Our joy in heaven will be nonetheless. What I'm saying is, it does not mean that once you're a Christian, you can play about to the will of God. For we owe him everything. We owe him everything. Then, meekness towards men. Now then, it keeps a control of anger as men. Psalm 38, verses 12 and 13. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a dead man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man, openeth not his mouth. That is, I didn't retaliate. A meek man with his fellow human beings is opposed to malice. We will not have that in our attitude. We are opposed to taking revenge. We will not take revenge. We are opposed to evil speaking. We will not speak evil of others. Meekness forgives. That's something God will help us. He recompenses good for evil. And for those who do you evil, you respond by doing good. Now, it takes the meek to do that. The meek. In 1 Peter 3, 4, it is a great ornament. The ornament of a meek spirit. It conquers the heart of an enemy. Now, meekness, what is it then, basically? Meekness is controlled strength. All right? It has no relation to weakness at all, or timidity, or any of those things. Now, this meekness is needed by the naturally quiet and the naturally aggressive. Both need not the kind of natural quietness, and certainly not the other. Both need the scriptural meekness. It is the ornament of a meek spirit. Meekness is controlled strength. Let me read this. I think it's Lloyd-Jones wrote it. Meekness is compatible with great strength, with great authority and power. The meek man is one who may so believe in standing for the truth that he will die for it if necessary. The martyrs were meek, but they were never weak. Strong men, but not weak. All right? Do you see the difference? Meekness is controlled strength. To put an easy illustration, think of the big old steam engines. They are of great, great power. You know, great power. But they can slow down and stop. It's an amazing thing. A so powerful thing can come to a stop. And here you see, meekness is controlled strength. You're strong as a character, you're strong, your will, maybe all those things. But meekness controls it and channels it and uses it in the right way. Right, the future of the meek. Blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. Powerful nations and armies shall inherit the earth, yes, for a little while. How many empires have there been? Scores. Some we know of, some we don't. You know, powerful, powerful nations. And other nations tremble at the very thought of them. And it can be very, very frightening. They'll have their day, and it passes. It passes. And even their names are forgotten. And these are powerful armies and powerful men. They inherit the earth for a while, but you know, not for long. Spiritually, Psalms 37, verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. These people all control strength. They appreciate what he has. Now then, are they dissatisfied? Are they greedy? No. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. They never complain. They're satisfied with their lot. They are meek, not weak. Now then, we come then to the right of title to the earth. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 and 22, for all things are yours. Now, this is marvelous. For all things are yours in the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. For you who have submitted to my Father's will, to you who are submitted to be meek in spirit to my Father and to fellow human beings, to you, all, everything is yours. Then in Psalm 37, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That is a promise. We shall inherit the earth. A future reference in 1 Corinthians 6, do we not know that the saints shall judge the world, judge the angels? Now then, we are with them, and we shall judge the world and judge the angels, or judge the angels with them. So in a sense, you might say, we are in a very superior situation then. And in Romans 8, and if children, and this is a very daring one, if you're a Christian, and if children and heirs of God. Heirs of God? Well, that's remarkable. Because the being of God is a spirit is an immense thing, a glorious thing, beyond our ordinary concept and understanding, and in dimensions we don't know anything about. But we, in Christ, we are heirs of God. He belongs to us, God. And we belong to God. And also joint heirs with Christ. So whatever is his is ours. That's where we are. Who are these people? They are meek. Blessed are the meek. It's a remarkable thing. Blessed are the meek. You know, what shall come to them? For they shall inherit the earth. They shall be very rich indeed. Heaven and earth is ours in a glorious way. Heaven and earth is ours. Now then, are we there? We learn from God. I am meek and lowly of hearts. Learn of me. If you find it difficult, sit at my feet like Mary did and tell me what your problem is. Have you come to stage one, my child? Have you seen that you have poverty of spirit and I can bring you to a place called Calvary and you'll be forgiven? Have you seen to it that you have things in you that should not be there, but slowly you're progressing, but you mourn for the things that are still there? Are you there, my child? And I will help you. And then he said, do you find this one difficult to be meek? No, it's not weak, but control strength. Do you submit to my Father's will? What is your attitude to your fellow human beings, and especially the household of God? So that, for example, let's say we had a general meeting and say that 20 people felt very heated about something. Well, as far as God is concerned, if they are very heated in their expressions, it's a non-event. It means nothing at all. But if they meekly express what they have to say, submitting to the will of God and respect of their fellow brothers and sisters, then that's a different thing altogether. It can transform our churches. Are there a weak lot in that church? No. They're meek. They're strong. What is meekness? It is controlled strength. Now listen to this hymn now. I greet thee, who my sure Redeemer art, my only trust and Saviour of my heart, who pain didst undergo for my poor sake. I pray thee, from our hearts all cares to take. Thou art the King of mercy and of grace, reigning omnipotent in every place. So come, O King, now our whole being sway. Shine on us with the light of thy pure day. Thou art the life by which alone we live, and all our substance and our strength receive. O comfort us in death's approaching hour, strong-hearted then to face it by thy power. Thou hast a true and perfect gentleness. No harshness hast thou, and no bitterness. O grant to us the grace we find in thee, that we may dwell in perfect unity. Our hope is in no other save in thee. Our faith is built upon thy promise free. Come, give us peace, and make us so strong and sure that we may conquerors be and ills endure. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.